I'm Ali, and thank you for joining the People Puzzles podcast. Every episode, we share stories, examples, and our learnings to help you unravel the people puzzles in your business. I started People Puzzles over a decade ago because I really believe that when you have the right people doing the right stuff, your business can really thrive. And most business leaders really appreciate having a trusted people expert to help them get it right. I've worked with over 100 small and mid-sized businesses, and at People Puzzles, we have over 80 portfolio people directors helping businesses to thrive across the UK. This week, I'm delighted to have Em Stroud with me from Laugh, Think, Play. And it's actually hard to even say that without smiling. What a great name. And rather than trying to describe or explain Em to you myself, I am going to simply ask her to do it. So, Em, hello.
Hello. Thanks for having me, lovely. It's very nice to be here.
Thanks for coming. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself? What do you do? Who are you?
Who am I? Let's start with the big question on Ali's podcast. So I am indeed Em Stroud, and I am the spark of Laugh, Think, Play. And I'm also a clown, a comedian, a podcaster, an author, and a speaker. But at the heart of everything that I do and everything that we do with Laugh, Think, Play is we're here to make the world laugh more, think more, and play more so that we can remember, reclaim, and restore what it is to be human.
What tiny concepts you've just mentioned.
Tiny concept, tiny ideas.
I mean, that's a fantastic premise because actually life is better when we enjoy it. And that goes for work, it goes for home, and it goes for all the things involved in. How on earth did you get into that? Because I actually haven't met anyone else who that is either their mission in life or their job title.
It is true. I mean, you know, somebody else, you know, like one of my, an amazing PR person once described me as the corporate clown coach. And I was like, wow, that is a name. So I've spent 20 years professionally performing. So I've done shows on the West End, up at Edinburgh Festival. I've just written and just performed my new one woman show. So that's really my grounding. But my other grounding is I've also spent 20 years in the business world as an entrepreneur running various different businesses. And I've worked with clients such as Bloomberg and Barclaycard and Bayer and other companies that don't begin with the letter B. And ultimately, where I'm at right now is we're recording this at the end of 23. It's a combination. Laugh, Think, Play is a combination of all of that different expertise and not just me, just coming together. And that's my purpose in life. And it's that thing of like, yeah, how can we bring more joy? You know, we only get one life, but how can we also do that in the business world and the entertainment world and lots of different places? So yeah, you know, there's my 20-year track history.
Well, can you just give us a little story? How did that 20-year, how did this ship launch? Why aren't you in, you know, I don't know, working at one of those fancy corporates and doing a sensible desk job? How did it become this?
I think truthfully, I think it started because my dad was an entrepreneur. So we're going back way. And so my dad died when I was 10. But before he died, he had left this imprint on me. So he used to sell sweets. He also worked in property. He had lots of different businesses. And this way before the internet, right? So he would be like, you know, you go and build relationships with people. And then when you build relationships with people, anything can happen. So I witnessed that. And I used to go around. I mean, this is cool, right? I used to go around sweet factories as a kid. And it was like, oh, I could do all of this. And I think, you know, that sort of stayed with me of like everything is possible. And then I was always interested in people. So my first ever job, well, one of them, don't judge me, was selling double glazing. Don't judge me. And I, you know, at the age of 15, I was made team leader. And I remember walking in going, this is weird. I'm 15. You're all grown ups. And I was like, well, if we do this really well and build really good relationships, as soon as we hit our targets, you can all go home, said the 15-year-old. We all hit our targets and we all went home. And then from that moment, I was like, oh, I quite like this idea about growth and selling and people and relationships. And then I also then fell into theatre. And I fell into theatre and I got a lead comedy role. And I was like, I like making people laugh. And that all happened before I was 18. And then I ended up going and doing theatre rather than business at university. I left university and then ended up selling crisps. So I started off selling crisps in my little Fiesta while also running a theatre company. And you know, ended up being sort of, you know, ended up being regional sales director for a well-known crisps company, and then got headhunted to become a director of sales. But at that same time, I'd done my first ever professional acting gig, and I lost my voice. And I lost my voice because I didn't have the craft of acting. So I had this real head heart moment in my early 20s where it was like, go do this big job, end up in a corporate, end up in this kind of, you know, doing all of this, or go and become an actor. Fortunately for now, I chose going with my heart, you know, that guaranteed thing of going and being an actor and all of that stuff. And I spent 3 years in drama school, and those 3 years shifted and changed me. And at that point, when I went to drama school, I was looking to carry on pretending. I was like, if I learn how to pretend to be other people, then my word, then no one will know who I really am. Turns out when you go to drama school, you have to learn who you are so that you can act. So it's a real portrayal of truth, you know, and then set up a theatre company, and then fast forward, work with all these big businesses. And here we are sitting having this conversation.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. I love hearing how it happened. Mm-hmm. And we'll get on to a bit more about what it is you do now. But why is it important for our people in work, thinking about a business leader perspective who's got, mm-hmm. you know, 30, 50, 100, 1,000 people yep. working for you, maybe locally, maybe nationally, internationally? Mm. Why is work, play, and laughter important? Because I guess previous generations would have probably said it wasn't. They would have said, go to work. You know, it's called work, not play, for a reason. Yeah. But you're saying it's really important.
It is really important. And, you know, one of the other members of the Hive within Laugh, Think, Play, she's the architect. So she can give you the real science about why this stuff works. But from 20 years of experience of witnessing it, ultimately, there's loads of things, aren't there, initiatives that leaders follow in terms of well-being and mental health. And I think we're all, you know, lots of business leaders talk about resilience and stress management. And it's all, dare I say, it's always in response to something that's quite negative, right? And lots of really smart business leaders that I've worked with really care about the culture, you know, and one of the biggest expenses that we have is retaining really good talent. And also, how do you recruit really good talent if you can't compete financially, perhaps with some of the bigger players? But one of the easiest ways to get people to stay is when they really love what the feeling of what they get. And when people laugh on a regular basis, it makes you feel better, right? There isn't a human being out there that doesn't know that laughing makes them feel better. And somehow in the last 100 years or so, we've all been programmed to go, when we're at work, we must be serious. It's like, when did that become the rule? Because actually, when you laugh, actually what you do is you're releasing amazing hormones into your body, which then makes you feel better. And if you're feeling better, you're going to connect more. And if you connect more, all senior leaders know business is about relationships. And when you've got really good relationships, then it's amazing what you can achieve. So why would you not prioritize laughing? I'm not suggesting everybody has to become comedians or clowns, far from it. But having that lightness of touch and having that levity of touch in both leadership styles and in terms of culture makes people feel better. And if they feel better, they'll perform more. If they perform more, you'll make more profit if that's your driver.
Yeah, fantastic. But how do you do that without it being cringy or awkward or weird?
Yeah, because there is that thing, isn't there? You know, especially when people go, but I'm not funny, Em. And I'm like, okay, good. And especially when people say to me, Em, can you help me with a talk? And I'm like, and I want to make it funny. And I'm like, are you funny? And they're like, no. And I'm like, then don't try and be funny. That's when it becomes, it's like that thing. And I'm sure you've experienced this, right? When people go, got to have forced fun. And everyone, it's so awkward and weird and yeah, and horrible. So the way that you do this is that you think about how you are when you're really relaxed. So if you're a leader, it's like, when are you really relaxed and how are you? And when do you bring the lightness? Now, are you naturally somebody that likes to tell stories? If you are, that's one of the ways that you play. This takes a little bit of self-reflection to go, okay, when I smile, when I bring in some joy, when I'm with my family or my friends, what are the things that I do and how do I witness myself doing that? Because when you're doing it at home, you then need to replicate that when you're at work. And again, that takes courage and it takes vulnerability. Now, for some people, you know, and I've worked with engineers and lawyers and people that are CEOs who are very grown up and very business. And I'm like, sometimes all it takes is that when you click on join, you're smiling and you're just like, hi, it's really nice to see you. But you have to come from that place of truth. This can't be forced. This can't be an act. You have to do it as you. And everybody will find, you know, you can do simple things like, you know, you're out of office, rather than just going, I am away on holiday until the 7th of January. Rather than doing that, why don't you go, I'm away on my holidays, but just to leave you something, I've just watched this little video and it made me laugh. It's gentle, but it shows a little bit of who you are. So there's loads of different things to bring in that sense of levity and lightness, which then can lead to laughter.
Yeah, brilliant. You're right. We can often be great with our friends, great with people, and then you feel, in a way, a bit like that pretending you said earlier, or you put your mask on, you put your, I'm at work, I'm being sensible in order to get respect. I have to be serious all the time. And actually, that's a false truth, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I know you work with lots of business leaders around their personal impact and helping them tell their own stories and be more themselves at work. How do you help people do that? How do you help people to be more authentic as the figurehead or the stand-up leader in a business?
I think one of the main things that I help people do is I give them permission to have some space, because so many leaders don't have any space in their days, in their weeks, to even think about this. And quite often as leaders, we are so naturally consumed with the what we're doing versus the how we're doing it. And so for me, in that space that I, when I work with people, it's really looking at the how it is that you're showing up. How do you really want to, dare I say, leave your legacy? You know, if in a dream world, how do you want your team to say that you made them feel? And quite often, leaders haven't even thought about this for quite a long time. And also those leaders that I've been working with recently, they've all hit a really high level of success. You know, they're doing really well. And actually, they want to do things slightly differently. So one of the main things that leaders have to do is obviously stand up and talk about the vision or tell the story about how their business grew or what their plan is. And for me, one of the main things that I love to draw out of people is, what are the stories that demonstrate why you are who you are? And quite often, lots of people haven't shared them. And this isn't doing storytelling for effect. This is doing storytelling because it is who you are. It is your truth. And it doesn't have to be funny. It doesn't have to be out there. And if you're naturally introverted, I have seen some of the most powerful leaders be deeply quiet, but so powerful. And actually, for me, it's about helping people really go, who am I really at home and at work? And when you spend a bit of time with me, that's generally what people find out. And they're like, oh, okay. And it's also like, how can you be more playful? And they're like, I don't know. I haven't played for 30 years. And suddenly they're like, oh, I could do that. And so I'm quite often a permission giver as well. It's like, yeah, you can do that. And you could try that. And they're like, oh my goodness me, this is so much fun.
Ever since I heard about your TED talk where you were wearing a banana outfit, I've been looking for an opportunity to wear my lemon outfit.
Yeah. Still, come on. Well, I think we've just now found a gap in the market there. It's like the fruit dinner hosted by Em and Ali. Come as your favorite fruit. And you and I would be very happy. And we'd be like, hi, oh, you're a lime. Interesting choice.
Yeah, we might be the only two people at that party. So let's pause on it for them. No, you think we'd get others?
Okay. Oh, we'd definitely get others. Yeah, just by bribery, if nothing else.
So I've come across, I mean, I talked about masking earlier, but quite a lot of senior figures who do mask at work because they think it helps them to be more successful. You're talking about being more authentic. Mm. What do you say to that conundrum?
I think the reason that we put lots of masks on, and I think the easiest thing is, you know, I did it because I genuinely, until I went to drama school, I didn't want people to see my flaws. Right. I didn't want to see what I believed was my truth of like, I'm not very good. I'm a bit damaged and I'm unlovable and all of these kind of things that came from my childhood. And actually, what I've witnessed is that the more you have the courage to go, this is me, the more people can see it and feel it. And if you're right for them, then you're right for them. And if you're not, that's also okay. Because when people put masks on, it's because we're trying to be something that we think other people need us to be. And the challenge with masks is quite often you're going to get that wrong. And somehow in this world of professionalism, we kind of go in and go, right, I need to be like this because that's what that means. And when I'm like that, then I'll get the outcome that I want. And actually, what I've really learned, and especially in the last sort of few years, there's no way, and Ali, you've known me for a long time, there's no way a few years ago I would be like, yes, and I'm a clown on something like this, because I would have been like, but people won't take me seriously. But actually, the more and more I've stepped into owning all of the parts of me, the more doors, the more opportunities have come my way. And that's my journey. And when I think about some of the leaders that I've worked with, them allowing themselves to show their silly side or their quieter side or their more vulnerable side or their more extrovert side, what they've noticed is they're like, I have better relationships. I have better conversations. And actually, we're getting more stuff done. But it takes courage to do that. And to do that, you also, I truly believe, and I know you're a massive advocate of this, you have to have a team around you as the leader helping you unmask who you are so that you can be in a safe space away from the people that you're leading. I have a team M. I would not be where I'm at without my team M. And we all need that because they're the people that help us hold up our mirror to ourselves. And we need to do that because otherwise, how can we grow?
Well, I think that is the biggest challenge of being a business leader as well. If you surround yourself with people who don't hold up any kind of mirror to you. Mm-hmm. And even this week, I've been reflecting on, you know, 13 and a half years of people puzzles. How many people actually tell me when they think I've done something foolish or insulting or just wrong?
Yeah.
And very few people. And so you get to the point where you stop having like the sharp edges rubbed off you by other people.
Yeah.
Start believing the hype of I'm a great business leader. Everyone else says I am. In fact, I get those emails that say to me, all I need to pay is £5,000 to be featured in a magazine as a great
business. Yeah.
So, and then
you know, you've hit success when they say you can pay to be featured of how brilliant you are. You're like, awesome.
Sounds like a bargain.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, actually, you know, it's not only encouraging feedback, but it's also stepping into who you know you can be. And oh, it's a bit of, how do you help people to actually do it then?
Here's it's having the courage, isn't it? It's having the courage to go into places where you know that you are doing something that takes you out of your zone of genius, right? If you're a leader, it's because you're really good and you know your stuff, right? And I think in society as a whole, I think it's really easy to go, woohoo, I'm here and this should be it. And for me, the leaders that I go, you are awesome. They always have that curious kind of mindset. You know, I was working with somebody recently and one of the things that absolutely terrified them about working with me was the fact that I've done so much improvising. And they're like, I hate improvising. I don't like it and everything like that. Said leader has done some stuff with me and now has gone, right, I need to do more. So he's going to a little regular impro class because it's like, it's so terrifying. And that's the thing. It's like, how can you be braver? And it's only when we're brave and we're trying new stuff out. And I think as adults, we also get caught in this trap of like, this is who I am. So therefore, this is what I do. And the amount of times I say, you know, when did you just do something that you didn't know whether you were going to like it or not? And most adults look at me and go, don't remember. And I'm like, you know, put some curiosity time in your diary and just pick something random. And if you don't like it, it doesn't matter. You've not signed up your life away. Like I tried pottery recently. I don't like it. I just didn't enjoy it. That's nothing against people that like pottery. But the thing was, I didn't know if I didn't like it because my younger self hasn't done that. You know, I haven't done that for 20 plus years. So it's that whole thing about being brave and putting ourselves into different situations, but also feeling safe while we do it, you know, going to places that can make us feel safe, you know?
Yeah, that's brilliant. I had two horse riding lessons last year and I concluded that it was sort of a cross between going for a weird walk and driving a really rubbish car. And that was the end of that. So yeah, it's great, isn't it? Trying new things.
Yeah.
So tell me, what thought would you like to leave the business leaders and other leaders listening with as they go on their day to day?
I would like to leave you with the thought of what one thing of joy can I let into my heart today? So what one joyful thing can you do that will fill your heart up? Because joy is one of those things that sometimes we don't allow ourselves to have. And a joyful moment can be as simple as just taking a breath and looking up and seeing it's a beautiful blue sky. And you go, wow, how privileged are we? Or a joyful moment might be holding your wife, holding your husband, holding your kid, but really, really allowing yourself that moment of joy. Because if we do that, that can fuel us. And that's as true as any of the hard stuff, you know?
Yeah, that's amazing. And maybe do something you've never done before in the next month. How's that for another challenge?
Nice.
Love it. Thank you so much. It's been amazing having you on. I've loved hearing about the fact that if you build relationships, anything can happen. And actually that mindset of anything can happen, about not pretending and telling stories to get your ideas across and to inspire other people. And also that curious mindset. It's something, as you say, if you're expected to know all the answers, you stop asking the questions, don't you?
Mm.
And then being braver and trying new things. So if you would like to get in touch with Em, please do go to the website Laugh, Think, Play. Please do check her out on LinkedIn. And equally, we'll have some lovely links to it on our People Puzzles page as well. If you've got any other questions for her, I think you could even email her.
Yeah, you could.
Those magical things. So get in touch and remember to do one joyful thing today. And if you're brave enough, leave us a post on LinkedIn and tell us what you've done. That would be amazing. Thanks so much, Em.
Thank you.